This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
How you doing, brother DA? I love listening to your show every morning, man. You know, you're the man of truth.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The man of truth right here. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And don't you know that every single day you have us in your control wherever you want to listen to us, no matter what your local affiliate does. Remember, you can always listen to us on CBS Sports Radio and our wonderful affiliates. Also on Sirius XM, Channel 206. Also, quick button punch on your phone. The CBS Sports app carries CBS Sports Radio. You can get your sports stories and scores and news and CBS Sports Radio. Also, Apple Music. Also, radio.com. Or you can watch us at watchda.com. And our next guest, if you are reading at CBS Sports on the app, you will read his coverage. Our friend, college football writer, Chip Patterson, dropping on by. Chip, good morning. How we doing?
Oh, DA, doing well. I mean, you bring me into those horns when we got a doubleheader coming up on Saturday. I mean, how could I be doing any better?
I know, man. This is going to be such a good college football weekend. And I'll start with the late game because the biggest game of that is Notre Dame at Georgia. Notre Dame traditionally has terrible luck against top five opponents. Do you give them any chance of beating number three Georgia on the road?
I would give them a chance, but I think that that would say more about Georgia and its inability to really fulfill what I think myself and a lot of people are painting out to be like a true year four, fully formed Kirby Smart boa constrictor buzzsaw of a Georgia Bulldogs football team. And so that it would be a Georgia thing, I think, if Notre Dame wins this game, because Notre Dame's good. Notre Dame's fine. Ian Book is a solid college quarterback. He's a little bit limited, and I think that their wide receivers outside of Chase Claypool kind of struggled to get open. Their run game is okay. Their run defense isn't great. Notre Dame is really only elite, in my opinion, in terms of their secondary. Aloe Gilman and the rest of their pass defense is great. But in this particular matchup, that's not really what Georgia wants to do. And so it's like Georgia's strength, which is running the ball with DeAndre Swift and that loaded backfield behind an offensive line of future pros, sort of goes against Notre Dame's weakness, which is their run defense. And so all the different ways that I'm sort of lining this up, I'm thinking, well, you know what? This is a year where we're looking at Georgia and thinking, all right, so is this sort of the year four with Kirby Smart? Everything's been fully cycled in. The recruiting plan has been put in place. Jake Fromm is your three-year starter. You know, that this might be the year for Georgia. And then you look at Notre Dame, and last year was the year. And so that's why I think we see the point spread at 14. And I think that's why we see on CBSSports.com's expert picks pretty much everybody picking Georgia. So is there a chance? Yes. But if it happens, to me, that says more about Georgia not being one of the three best teams in the country than it says about Notre Dame maybe being one of the three best teams in the country.
Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com, joining us this morning on the show. Game one of the CBS doubleheader is number 8 Auburn and number 17 Texas A&M. These are the games that Jimbo Fisher was hired at a really high salary to win. Does he need to win this game to validate all the hope and the optimism that Aggies fans had in bringing him in last year?
Jimbo Fisher needs to win this game because Texas A&M's schedule is brutal. Texas A&M has one of the hardest schedules in the entire country, in addition to everything that they've got to face in the SEC West. I mean, you just sort of go through it. They had to go on the road and play the Clemson Tigers, and then you go to the end of November, and they finish the year with road games against LSU and Georgia. Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M need to win this game because, frankly, it is one of the most winnable games against a quality opponent, because Texas A&M's fans aren't going to feel good about Jimbo Fisher if the only wins that he can point to are against the likes of Ole Miss, Arkansas, Lamar, and the other, you know, yeah, we expected you to go and win that game type matchup. He needs to have wins against quality opponents, and the schedule is so tough that I think that this is one of those opportunities. Texas A&M is great at the line of scrimmage. Their defense is solid, particularly up front, and then their offensive line, DA, I love these guys. Do you know what they're called? They're called the Maroon Goons, and they are checking in at a school record, Texas A&M school record, 318.2 pounds per goon. They are big. They are thick. They are moving bodies around in the trenches. It, like, to me, Texas A&M is a 10-win team based on its roster with an 8-win schedule. And when you've got that kind of disparity between the quality of the team and what I'm expecting based on the strength of schedule, a toss-up game like this against a division rival takes on the look of a must-win.
Our personal Maroon Goon, Chip Patterson, joining us this morning here on the show from CBSSports.com. In the Big Ten, noon Eastern kick on Fox is Michigan and Wisconsin. Why do you think Michigan's offense has been so stagnant in the first two games they played?
Getting back Donovan Peoples-Jones will help. I do think he's probably one of the best players from the skill positions that they've got on that roster. And so I imagine that will provide a little bit of a spark, but it is yet to be determined. You know, it's like we got two games right now and none of it looks good. None of it looks cohesive. We know that we had the changeover in coordinator and play calling, and we're bringing in Josh Gattis. And I'm willing to sit back and wonder if during the off week, they did some self-scouting and ironed out some of these wrinkles. We are so quick to make judgments after what we've seen with our own eyes, and they don't need us on the outside of Ann Arbor to let them know that the way the Michigan looked against Middle Tennessee and Army was going to be acceptable, and the way that the offenses looked was going to be good enough to contend in the Big Ten against the best teams. And so I am willing to sit back and wait until after this Wisconsin game before I really start, you know, digging my heels in. But I am with you in thinking that it is a bad thing that Michigan fans who have been frustrated with the offense, you know, they were given a story this offseason about a change that is coming. When the results didn't look like they had been changed, Michigan fans were able to comfortably settle back into the mental muscle memory of having the same old complaints about that Michigan offense. And so, again, I think this is a massive, massive game for Michigan going on the road to Wisconsin. I don't even think that they need to win per se. This isn't a need to save your season, but in terms of the conversation and the confidence within that Michigan offense, this has got to be a much better performance than what we've seen. It needs to be crisper. It needs to be more efficient. And there needs to be some more cohesion.
And got to be on the road against Camp Randall, which is never an easy place to play for conference foes. Let's talk about UCF and Boise State. These are two Group of Five teams. They're ranked in the top 20. They have done what they've needed to do against Power Five programs. UCF just dismantled Stanford. Boise State went to FSU and won. UCF gets one more crack at this at Pitt this weekend. These two programs have proven they can beat Power 5 teams, but no Power 5 teams want to play them, and they're unfortunately victims of their own schedule. Their conferences are going to be really weak this season. Is there any way out of this kind of in-between purgatory if you are Boise State or UCF this season?
I think that, well, first of all, Boise State, I'm not going to give Boise State credit for beating Florida State. All right? ULM almost did that, okay? So that doesn't going to beat Florida State in 2019 does not get to be a badge of honor. I think that what UCF did to Stanford that was very impressive is they pushed Stanford around at the line of scrimmage, and they also ran by Stanford. So while Stanford sometimes has to choose because of what it needs to do in recruiting to get kids into school, Stanford kind of has to choose, are we going to be strong or are we going to be fast? But they can't really be strong and fast at the same time. Well, UCF was stronger and faster. Things might be not looking great for Stanford. I think that overall, UCF is a much, much better team than Boise State when you compare the two. And I think that UCF, because of its success, not just, you know, recently, but even across head coaches, it's not just a Scott Frost thing. Josh Heupel's been able to come in, sustain injuries to quarterbacks. Now they've got Dylan Gabriel, a freshman quarterback who I'm a big fan of, who stepped right in, and he's executing that offense at the same high level that we saw Mackenzie Milton do for a couple of years. I think UCF has the best chance to be able to really make some noise and play the role of playoff crasher. But to answer sort of the starting point for your question, the only way that I see a group of five school like a UCF or a Boise State making it to the college football playoff in the current system would be if the playoff expands. I think with the current four-team format, we go into a college football season, and it's just very easy to just before the first game even starts, you just go, okay, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Georgia. And now LSU is trying to add its name to that conversation, but I got five or six real fast. And those are just the most talented teams in the country that also happen to have some of the best coaching. Then it comes down to a matter of execution, because UCF is very good and very competitive against everyone that it plays. But the qualifier to get into the college football playoff is abstract. It is not, you know, defined by margin of victory. It is not defined by your pole position. It is human beings sitting in a room, and they are only asked to choose the four best teams. And college football, which has always been a talking sport that has dealt with abstracts, where we've got claimed national championships and vacated national championships and a whole bunch of stuff that you can't really pin down, the language was meant to be flexible. Four best teams. And to me, just because of the raw talent and resources disadvantage that some of those schools have against those blue bloods that I named right there, I think that it's going to take the playoff expanding beyond four until a path really seems likely.
Yep, well said. Chip Patterson joining us this morning on the show. Just about a minute left. So do you buy the narrative that because of these top 25 teams, the quote-unquote Pac-12 is back?
No, but I think the Pac-12 is probably really interesting, because what the Pac-12 has that is keeping it from being really back is it also has some dumpster fires. You know, you're looking at UCLA, where things are just really, really bad. I mentioned Stanford, which I do think is starting to regress just a little bit. The best thing that the Pac-12 could do in order to be back in 2019, in my opinion, would be to have Utah, which, you know, obviously massive, massive game in the Coliseum on Friday night against USC, or Oregon win all the rest of its games. Because if Oregon is a 12-1 Pac-12 champion, only loss came in week one on a neutral field at the last second to Bo Nix, not Patrick Nix, then I think that that is a quality enough resume that we would consider Oregon for the college football playoff. And it's been a while since we've even had a team in the conversation, right? I mean, like, when the Big 12 gets left out, it's because we can't decide between Baylor or TCU. When the Big 10 gets left out, it's because Ohio State went on the road and got blown out by Iowa or Purdue. We haven't even had a Pac-12 team with a decent resume since Washington got in a couple years ago. And I think just even having a Pac-12 team in that national championship conversation in November, that would go a long way to making people believe the Pac-12 was back.
Read Chip Patterson at CBSSports.com. Follow him on Twitter for the latest in college football at Chip_Patterson. And listen to him on the Cover 3 CBS Sports podcast, College Football Action, the Cover 3 podcast, available all places. Podcasts are including Apple and iTunes. It's always good to catch up, my man. Well done today, as always. We'll do it again here soon.
Sounds good, DA. Y'all be well.
You too. Chip Patterson joining us this morning on the show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.